A good time to start. I'll call the Otter Rock Water District work session meeting of October 27th, 2020 to order. And online roll call. Dan.
Dan Gleason present.
Pat.
Here.
Buzz.
Here.
And Beth is here, and Lisa can't be here tonight. We have no staff members present, and we have a nice crowd of public in attendance. Thank you all for coming. I think first we added a small item to our agenda, and Buzz has a few announcements regarding the chlorination project and meters. So do you want to go ahead with that, Buzz?
Yeah. The engineer, Cascade Waterworks, Jonathan Smith, called me this morning and had some questions about hydraulics and the best way to integrate the chlorination system into the total tank project. Total project at the tank farm. As a first stage to satisfy the state's requirement that we get it done as quickly as possible, and yet do it in such a way that we wouldn't be doing anything over and above what is necessary for the total project. So for the total tank farm, we talked for a long time. By the way, he's doing this, he's preparing a package to state our case to the state at Springfield. I guess the guy's name is James McPherson, the chief engineer over there, has asked for us to submit a package for him to review so he can consider an extension on the January 21st date that we have to have chlorination in place. So Jonathan is working on that. And answers questions. So we talked for an hour or less, and we concluded that there isn't really a good way to get the chlorination system hooked up so that it will mesh with the the system that we want without interfering with construction. And so we talked about another way that would involve adding some materials and maybe a temporary structure of some kind. And we left it where I would run it by the board. Want you to know, I don't know if I'm asking for approval or not, because we have to do it regardless, but I want you to know what we're doing. And as far as that's concerned, if you have any questions, I can answer them. But I think perhaps I've explained everything that I can remember about our conversation. And then before we get into that, I told the board that we had just were about to pull the trigger on an order for about $3,200 worth of meter equipment that includes 12 meters at the 50% off rate that Jim was able to get, and the meter boxes and lids and some fittings. The meters themselves and the meter boxes and lids are about 80% of that. So roughly $2,600 bucks of the total $3,200. The purpose of buying was to get the rate. We don't know how long that'll be in effect, but we have an area of the district where we're thinking that we can get 3 meters installed in one day, which is the most cost-effective way to do it. And possibly we can do in the same area 6 and 2 days. So again, it's something that I talked to a couple of commissioners about, but it's, and everybody wants us to install meters. So it's gonna cost $3,200 and change to get the parts. And that'll give us, if we install 6, we'll still have 6 meters and boxes on hand for future installation. That's all.
Great, thanks.
Buzz, do we still have 1 meter in not installed yet?
Yes.
I would like to put off purchasing, making a bulk purchase of meters, because if we pay for them now, we can't finance them in the project that we may or may not do. And my understanding is that we have the need on 4th Street, we think, for 1 meter because we're looking for a leak. Is that correct?
Pat, let me go back. I told you I wasn't asking for permission. I already ran it by a couple of members. And going to the, just installing 1 meter is not cost effective. And if we don't order these meters now, so if you want me to not do it, then I suggest you put it before the board and make it a vote on it, because if you don't, I'm going to go ahead and order those meters. I just wanted the board to know.
The budget community and the budget committee made it clear that they wanted us to continue getting meters in, and it is more cost effective to put them in this way when we can, as to doing them in the more expensive way with the project. So I would be in favor in going ahead.
I would too, because they're cheaper if we do them now than including them in the project. Yeah. And we do have the money in the budget to install some. I would be in favor of going ahead.
Good point, Beth.
We don't know yet, however, how much it's actually going to cost to do this chlorination project. And I would be in favor of conserving our resources at the moment.
Yeah, you're not going to know how it's cost until it's in place and done. Then you'll know exactly what it cost.
Well, it sounds like some board members have already made a decision. That's interesting.
Well, we have not decided as a board. I guess my position was, we'd agreed at the time that we approved the budget that we would do this. I didn't realize what we were going to be needing to make more decisions. I thought we had decided. So I apologize if I misunderstood.
Okay, so help me out here. If we've already got it in the budget, do we need to have a motion to go ahead and order more meters, or do we not? What does anybody think?
Well, I think Pat would definitely like to have her objection to this recorded. Yes, Pat?
Well, I object at the timing of this.
Okay.
If we are buying meters in bulk in doing a bigger project, then we perhaps will get the same discount at that time.
Pat, Beth made a very good point, and I forgot to mention it, but Jim was installing, he installed about 60 meters, and he did it at a far lesser rate than what it's going to cost to have a contractor come in and do it. So the more meters, and we've covered this in prior meetings, we said that we're going to try to install as many meters as we can on our own, because we can do it cheaper than it will be done in the total project. Jim said that, and I totally agree. We've got a young man who knows how to do it, and his father's a contractor. We can schedule, I think, 3 in a day and get it done. So let's do it.
Would you prefer that we vote on it, Pat? I
would prefer that decisions like this aren't being made behind the scenes.
Okay, I don't think any decisions were made at the scene, but there's nothing wrong with someone making a motion right now to either go ahead and do these purchase meters and continue to install meters, or if someone wants to make a motion to not do that, I would entertain either. So we can vote on it, and then it is a decision.
Sure. And again, Pat, I apologize if you feel that this was the buzz proceeding with this. I thought the board had decided that we would be doing some of this year.
Right, but there are considerably more months left in the year than we've used up at this point.
On the other hand, we do need to do this. We have reasons to be doing this. One meter, and it makes sense to, Shall I just go ahead and move? I move that we proceed with this purchase of meters and proceed with the installation of meters as the opportunity arises, as planned.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Verbally, Buzz? I vote yes. Dan?
Aye.
Opposed?
I vote no.
Okay, 1 opposed, 3 ayes, motion carries. Buzz, there was one other thing you mentioned about the, I didn't hear it tonight, and actually that's another reason why I'd be in favor of doing meters, that just to, even if we were just starting on the reduced project, we're looking at probably a year from now. Get that started or to be near completion, do you know what that year was?
Said a year when I was talking to him, and I took it to mean from the time, we award the contract to when we're finished up.
Okay, it sounds reasonable. Okay, any other questions about the chlorination or the meters? If not,
So with respect to the chlorination, does that mean that we've selected a contractor to install it?
Who is this, Rod?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Everybody's getting so small on the screen. No, we haven't selected a contractor.
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Rod.
Hi, Rod. No, Rod, he's preparing that a package to send to the engineer in Springfield, the state guy, the plan review guy, to give him our plan for installing chlorination as a part of our total plan to upgrade the tank farm. And he's gonna include in the plan his some of the cost numbers he's already generated, and he's gonna include some schematics, and he's gonna include probably a written page explaining what the improvements are and why they're doing them. So and once the engineer gets that, if he views it favorably, he'll cut us some slack on that January 21 date we have to have to have chlorination in place. And once we get the okay on that, then hopefully we will have already moved forward on a resolution to get some money to have him do that. It's not our intent to do that with our own funds. It would be something that would be worked into the total project. And what I said earlier, it might be a little bit of a Rube Goldberg chlorination system, because we just couldn't come up with the a way to efficiently inject chlorine into that system the way it stands now without interfering with construction.
Are you looking at getting a system that's perhaps skid mounted to where you can move it easily when you need to?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are you looking, is the system you're looking at getting or manufacturing, let's say it's skid mounted where it makes it easy to move when needed?
Oh, it's way similar. It's way simpler, Rod, than something that would be skid mounted. In the simplest form, one version that I have is a tough shed with a light and some power, perhaps a water source with a 30-gallon tub and a metering pump and an injection point. Probably a flow measuring device on the discharge, so we can figure out, it would be interlocked to the pump that already exists in the Spring 3 well. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. The only other question I have is the timing, because if I look at it, you're not going to. I'm wondering how long it's going to take to get funds in place to support the project.
Well, that's what Jonathan is going to work into his presentation to the state. He's going to send it to us before he sends it to the state, and we'll have a shot at it. But he will send the big X factor is it'll be the start point is after we get the funding, some kind of a loan, okay? And they may tell us, no, you can't do that. You're gonna have to spend your own resources to put that system in before you get your loan and before you start on the upgrade of the tank farm. I don't know what they're gonna tell us, but it's a possibility.
All right, that makes sense. Thanks, Buzz.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, let's proceed on. Our big topic tonight is the infrastructure and the project scope. And what I would like to do tonight is to make sure, and because we have so many people in attendance, and we've gotten a lot of feedback, and I really appreciate that. We really need that, but I want to make sure that all of the board members present have a turn to speak, and then I'm sure there'll be some additional questions and possibly some more comments. So who would like to proceed to talk about the infrastructure project? How about Dan?
Well, I guess I can introduce it. As you saw from the information we sent out, I think the first decision we need to make is whether we're going to do the full renovation and replacement, or whether we're going to do a partial reduced scope renovation and replacement. There's a considerable difference in cost. I'm sorry Lisa wasn't able to be here, but from what she can tell us, it looks like whatever we choose to do is then what we'll have for quite some time, because although what we've been told from both the state and the USDA is that you can always come around and try and borrow more later for more renovation, the odds of that succeeding are very small. Your best bet to secure the funding you need is to ask for what it is you think you're going to need, because it's apparently unusual for once you've racked up a certain amount of debt load to be able to come back and add to that easily. You get way down the priority list apparently. So that's, I think the first step is to decide on a scope. And that's one of the things we asked the community for their opinion about. And we've heard from, I think, over 30 community members now, right, Beth?
I think, yeah, there's about 30.
Yeah. We're still stuck making the decision. And it's not going to be a popular decision to spend money for either scope. It appears that as far as looking at the funding options, that is dependent on the scope. If we do the full scope project, because of the limits in Oregon state law for the debt limit for a bond, we are not big enough to issue a bond for the cost of the full project. We may be able to squeak by and issue a bond for the cost of the reduced scope project, but we'd really need, if we decide to go with reduced scope, we'd really need to go back to the advisor at SDAO and see if we can do that. They take a fair amount, just the cost of issuing the bond, they take a fair amount right off the top. So if you, for example, if we issued, if we asked for a $3.5 million bond issue, what would be left for actually using in the project after that, they estimated would be about $3,350,000. There'd be 150 gone just in all the costs of the bond issuance. And our reduced scope project is a little bit below the maximum amount that we can borrow with a bond as a small district. But we'd really need to, if we decide to go with the reduced scope, we would have to go back to them and see if we could actually even fund it that way. That, anything else you want to say, or any questions on that part?
not really a question, but I know one thing that I was uncomfortable with the bond part was the fact that I think something like Lisa stated $125,000 was an upfront cost just to get it going, and that would be due whether the bond passed or not. And
well,
you have to raise your hand if you want to talk.
When we look at the proposal that they gave us, it looks like they're folding that 150K cost on their estimate into the bond issuance itself. But I think we would have to foot the bill for the putting the measure together and putting it on the ballot. And I have no idea what that costs at this point.
Right.
Also, there's just the that really extends the time span to do the May election, because apparently they won't, until we have a measure passed, they're not going to start the rest of the process.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A point of clarification, if I may. There was a cost for the bond of 4.5%, but then you said that we had to do the bond issuance in addition to that.
No, that my understanding is that that's the cost of the bond issuance, but I think the cost we have to bear ourselves is whatever it costs to do the bond measure, and I don't know what that is.
And there was something that I'm trying to piece together here. Was it not included the bond attorney that the district would have to hire that would get it to completion or prosecute the whole bond? Is that correct?
Can you restate that?
There was talk of in order to do it, we'd have to have a bond attorney.
Right.
And the bond attorney is not included in that 4.5 cents issuance, or the bond attorney is separate that the district hires to prosecute the whole bond?
There are bond attorney fees included in that 4.5%.
Okay, that's what I wanted to find out.
I think if we decide in the reduced scope project, and it looks like we can actually get, we could fund it with the bond, we would have to ask more specific questions about the process. I mean, the estimate they gave us had some detail, but it didn't have the entire detail. If you would like, I don't think there's any reason that, is there any reason I couldn't put the that document up, that estimate? Well, of course, it was for the 3.5 million amount. So it still would be misleading. We just had to make some rough, crude estimates for what the cost would be for the reduced cost bond. And if we decided we were going to do it with a reduced scope project, then we would actually have to have a formal reissuance. We'd have to have them send that document out again with that cost estimate to see what it was really going to be.
Right.
I think first step the board will need to decide is the scope. Then we can explore whether a bond is possible or not. Okay. Or maybe we can ask SDO to give us, I think it's not unreasonable to see if they'll give us an estimate for the $1.5 million bond and see what they say.
With the people that you have talked to, is there a feeling that there could be an entirety, a bond of the entire thing, or not? Was that just too much?
For the full scope, our debt limit is, I'm trying to remember the exact number off the top of my head, it's about
1.595300.
Almost 1.6 million is the max.
Okay.
Raise the bond.
Well, in this printing, I thought that was the maximum loan amount that was available to us.
Well, no, that's the maximum and the debt limit.
Sorry. Okay.
Thanks. And so what we have to see is with that debt limit, by the time we issue the bond, will we still have enough left to do the project?
Yes.
Because the current estimate for the reduced scope project is, you know, sneaking up on 1.5 million as it is. Yeah.
Is there a cost overrun figure in that 1.5?
He put a 25% contingent in it.
Okay. Thank you.
Beth, it looks like Ben.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, about 20%.
20?
Yeah.
Ben, you had a question?
Yeah, I did. I really don't know, and I've never heard, but I know that some of the other water districts are owned by different people. And I was wondering, the water district able to be owned by a private party? And if it is, then why is that an option somebody asked? If it was for sale, would somebody be interested in buying the water district?
Good point.
I don't have an answer.
Well, I mean, if you're going to explore $1 million worth of stuff or several million dollars worth of stuff, you should explore to see if maybe the same water district that's already doing Otter Crest and that other would be interested in supplying this water as well. I've known for years they've wanted the springs. So
you're talking maybe water district for a profit.
Pardon me?
Are we talking a water, they want to take it over so they can make a profit on it?
Well, I don't know what the reasoning is why they don't.
Why else you would do it?
Pardon me?
I don't know why else you would want to take it over unless you thought you could make a profit on it.
Well, possibly because the water Johnson Creek almost ran out a few years ago and they almost had no water at all. So they might feel that the springs that we have are more valuable, that can actually get more water out of our springs than we're actually currently using. And if they put us on meters, they might restrict us to a certain amount of usage and be able to use the leftover water for Otter Rock or other places they have water. So something to think about. I'm not suggesting that that's what we have to do. I'm just saying that, hey, has anybody even thought about it?
Ben, I can say I've done some online research about the consequences of privatizing public water systems. And of course, this is bias of what you can find on the web, but it does not sound that by and large people are happy with the consequences of that.
I don't think you're to the choice. I don't think you're in a place that anybody's going to be happy with anything right now.
Well, I agree.
You've got 100 and some people that are going to be responsible for near $4 million worth of things. I'm not really nuts about being on the hook for several properties. There's only 100 of us splitting, or 100 and some of us that are splitting $4 million worth of stuff. I'm not real nuts about that either.
I agree.
But I think that all options should be looked at, and maybe we need somebody rather than just one engineer that's in the job for himself. And I don't mean Buck, please. That's not who I mean. I mean, I don't mean Buzz by no means. I mean, it seems to me that maybe we should have somebody representing us and paying somebody that specializes in water.
Just to talk about one thing, and I'm going to shut up. One advantage of the engineer that we have been consulting is he is no longer in the construction business.
Good. That's great. Yeah. But I just wanted to know if all the avenues have been looked at, because, you know, there might be, you might end up with more resistance on getting anything done. And then you're going to end up with the same thing that's been done for the last 30 years, which is not a lot.
Right.
I have a question. I'm not sure if we can answer it, but on projects like this, aren't you supposed to put things out for bids? Don't public agencies put things out for bid?
Oh, yeah.
So we'd have to do that too, right?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Anything yeah. over $15,000 has to go out yeah. for bid.
Now, do you get it back as an estimate or do you get it back as a firm bid?
If you do a request for a proposal, you'd be asking for a bid.
A firm bid.
Right.
Right. That's what
right.
I would
you sign a contract.
But it seems like you kind of need those to know what how much it's going to cost and what our scope is. Do we have a firm bid that we've put out and this is what it is? Is that what it is?
No, first 3.5. We need to know what we're doing so that we can include it in the RFP documents. You have to know what you're asking for.
Right.
So that the people can bid. You specify exactly what you want them to bid on. And
right,
then,
I agree.
Right. So that's what we're getting from the engineers. And really, it's really, they did the Civil West study a few years ago. And what we're getting now is really pretty similar. It's just a little more refined, I think. When we go out for bid, we're going to be asking for, this is what we want.
And you'd want to do that on either reduced or the full
yes.
project.
Either one, correct.
Okay.
Can I Stan? Can I say something?
Please.
What we've done up to now is do a fairly detailed conceptual design, so we know how much to go ask for a loan or a bond or whatever we decide to do. We have those numbers. And we can feel fairly confident it's a good estimate of what we need. Once we get the loan, once we've been awarded it and everything's signed off, we'll tell that engineer to go ahead and prepare some plans, some specifications, and some contract documents. And they'll get reviewed by the state and we'll go through the review process. Once he's completed that, he will put the project with the plans, the contract, all that paperwork out for bid for, I don't know, what's typical, Ben, 30 days, 90, 60 days, something like that. Anyway,
yeah.
We'll get bidders, hopefully. And they'll bid on the total project. We will review the bids and it's a formal process and award the contract. The project will be conducted using the contract documents. And that's boilerplate that the American Association of Contractors and the civil engineers and blah, 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 everybody's put together. And they know what's in these contract documents and their guidelines about how the guy gets paid and arbitration and insurance and the whole enchilada through the whole project. Our engineer, okay. He will provide that. And we will probably, he will do some oversight during the progress of the job, but we may hire some, somebody is an on-site periodic inspector just to see how things are going.
And
once the project's completed, everything's signed off, the punch list is filled out, all the holes have been covered with soil, we're done.
But we get the money first and then do the bids, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's the short answer.
Well, we get the guarantee of the money first.
What if the bids come in higher?
There is a 25% contingency, or I'm sorry, 20%.
20%.
Yeah. And he's padded those estimates quite a bit. And if they come in higher, it's that I think we can, there's nothing you can do if the bids come in twice and you only have half the money, you're kind of in a world of hurt. But if they come a little over and you've structured the bid so that you can take out parts that you don't need, you can still get it done.
And if we didn't, and if it did come in over and we don't have the money, then we just have to say we can't accept a bid. We'll have to put them out again.
Yes, if it's way over, we just have to rebid.
Okay, I guess.
Ben, did you have something else?
Yeah, I've been in construction all my life, and these bids, that's all I did is do estimates on bids for large jobs. And I've yet to see a project that come in anywhere near the price that was projected. A lot of contractors that I know of, that I personally am aware of, will bid something for cost because they realize the change orders will pay more than pay their profits for the entire job. And that scares me. The other thing that scares me is if you get a contractor in here that can't finish the job and you end up in the middle of a lawsuit, Otter Rock Water doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to withstand a lawsuit, a big lawsuit over a $3 million job. So, I mean, these are things that actually need a lawyer involved in. I don't even know, you know, it's above my head.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but unlike you, I've seen a number of jobs, I've designed a number of jobs that have come in under the money.
Well, that's probably because they're large public jobs. I'm talking about private jobs that are not public. And well, the only reason this is public is because it's dealing with a not-for-profit water district, but okay. We're really rather small.
All right, but I just want it to be clear. You said, you specifically said you've never seen a job come in for under the money.
That's right. And
I have, lots of times.
So well, that's good. That's good. I'm proud that you have, but you're probably talking about big public entities, and I'm not. I'm talking about smaller jobs that are million, 2 million, 3 million, that kind of thing.
We're a public entity.
Well, you're only a public enemy. You're only because that you have few people at a not-for-profit in a very, very one of the smallest water districts in Oregon. So that's the only reason you're a public entity. It doesn't mean that you can stand the wherewithal of a lawsuit if something went wrong.
You know, there might be a big earthquake too, Ben. Some things you just don't
realize that, but the odds of a lawsuit are a hell of a lot bigger because when this change order start hitting your desk and the inspector sits there and says, "Yeah, they had to do that," you're going to have to pay it. So I hope you know somebody's willing to pony up the extra money, because if I get involved in a contract and all of a sudden they're 20% higher when it's all said and done, I'd like to have a finger to point at somebody.
All right, I'm ready to quit talking about it.
Oh no, you know what? You don't jump over the bridge. I mean, where this is a conversation. You asked my opinion, I gave you it.
All right, I hear you.
It certainly sounds like we would not want to be comfortable with a bid that was close to the upper limit of what we were what we had to spend. If the bids came in and they were using up most of that 20% contingency, then it sounds like that's something we need to be.
Can I say just one more thing on the subject? Sure. As an example, if the bids came in, if we went out with an estimate of $3.4 million and the bids came in way more than that, the job can be structured. You can do the tank farm. That's a separate entity. It can be broken off. You can make that as a bid item, or you can make separate parts of it a bid item, but the tank farm can be broken out. And this partial job we talked about, what it consists of is the tank farm and the meters and the trunk line, and I think a couple other elements of the distribution system.
Does it include the fittings?
Those can be broken out.
Include the fittings that you're going to connect the new stuff to the old stuff with, because they don't make them anymore.
Ben, they're gonna run the trunk line down the road. There's nothing from the tank farm down to the hydrant.
How do you connect from the trunk line down the roads?
First, you cut the pipe. You cut the pipe on the transite, and you cut the pipe on the PVC, and mm-hmm. you get a coupling, and you clamp them together.
And you get a coupling for that old ABS pipe?
Say again?
You can get a coupling for that ABS pipe, that size pipe?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're going to spend more money on the fittings than you would on just putting the line in.
Ben, we're talking about one connection to the transite, just one connection.
Well, you mean you don't have a connection on First Street and on Third Street?
I stand corrected. Yes, we would put a T in the new line, so there'd be three connections.
What about the connection for the what about the fire hydrant that's on the main road?
We're going to abandon that fire hydrant and put a new one in.
Off of the new
New line.
That makes sense.
So we got three connections. I'm sure we'll be able to figure something out.
Well, you're going to have to. You know that if you use the other, if you put in all the pipe at one time, you realize that you're able to keep on using the water in the system you already have it. Why they put in the other line, getting it ready to switch over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about the scope. Because I think Dan's right. We have to decide on what the scope is that we're going to do. Or we have to work toward that. Pat, do you have anything you want to add to the discussion?
Not at the moment, except about several people in their comments mentioned earthquake. Resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently wasn't clear that is definitely part of this project to replace the tank.
Okay.
Let's also comment about some people wondered how you could go with a smaller gallon tank and replacing the big tank with something considerably smaller. Buzz, do you want to talk about that?
I read the old records when the original tank was designed, and somebody had done a population projection of 2,500 people. I may be off 1,000 one way or the other, but it doesn't matter. It might be 1,500 people, but they designed that tank, that big tank, for a lot more people than are ever going to be in the district. You can have too much water stored. It'll get stale. We don't have the funds to, if we wanted to approach the volume of the big tank with the new job, we'd probably put two tanks side by side, 250,000 gallon tanks. But we don't have the money. But there'll be room if we ever need it. But the criteria now that we're worried about is fire flow. And the criteria, according to the Paul Erskine and quoting the fire chief in Depot Bay, is 1,000 gallons a minute for 2 hours. That's 120,000 gallons. So we have that. And we also have use of the 30,000 gallon tank, although it won't be as high a pressure. But we will have about 180,000 gallons. And I'm really not worried about too much, so much as it being enough water, as even that amount of water going stale. For years and years, we've had excess flow coming into that big tank, and that's why we've never tasted any foul water, because it most of the year, we have excess flow going through the tank that keeps it fresh. And now we're going to be pumping everything into that tall tank. And I'm wondering if we're going to be able to cost effectively pump extra water into that, even 150,000 gallons to keep it fresh. But we need the extra pressure. We need, the main reason we're going to that tank, that 150,000 gallon tank, is so we can get a few PSI extra pressure in the system, because we're dangerously low in certain parts. Up by that new subdivision is one place, to the 20 PSI minimum that the state mandates. So what that new tank is going to buy us is some extra fire flow, and it's going to get us a few extra PSI pressure through the system.
Will the pipes explode?
I don't know if I addressed your question or not, but...
I think the question that was asked was, how do you accomplish your goal of the increasing the pressure with a smaller tank? But it has to do with the fact that it's a cylindrical tank and it's taller.
It's all a function of height, Pat.
Yes.
More pressure, more height, more pressure.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
I do have a question. I just wanted some nuts and bolts things. There was from the county 340 properties. Did they give you a total valuation of those 340 properties?
Evaluation. Yeah, we've got that somewhere.
I'd like to get that if I could.
Dan, we can't hear you.
Dan, you're muted.
My bad. Sorry. Just trying to keep the extra noise down, including the extra noise coming out of my mouth. It'll take me just a minute to give you the, what we have is the current updated real market value for the district. And I can give you that total number here in a couple minutes. I just have to reach in.
It'd be great. Just text it to me or something, Dan.
Yeah, we've got it. Dan, you got it recently. And yes. It was sent in an email, so.
Yep. So I'll go grab that, and there's no reason. It's a public meeting. There's no reason I shouldn't tell everyone what it is. So.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Ben.
I'm sorry. I just have to make a comment. If you increase the pressure, you're going to increase the pressure on the existing water lines. And, you know, like anything else, if you increase the pressure, every pound you put it up, there is more pressure on the old line that might be leaking already, that we can't find the leaks because we don't have the meters.
So. Right. Well, meters are going in. They have to go in either of the projects, any of them.
It should have been done to begin with when they started off the meter project. That's my opinion.
Right. Well, we're trying to keep going on it. Yeah. I know I was impressed on our surveys that we had approximately 30 people return and gave their opinion. And most of the people, a high percentage of the people chose to do the full project.
Makes sense.
And yeah, it does. It's just a little scary. I have concerns about people being able to afford that huge jump in their bill.
At least you don't wait 30 years to do something about it. At least this way we're actually projecting to get the work done ahead of time if you do the whole project.
Well, ahead of time, maybe. I don't know. I think we're behind the time, but yeah.
Well, I mean.
Yeah.
You drew a line to start from. Yes.
Right. And another interesting thing that Dan brought up was that in part of this estimate in which they came up to the expected new rates we might have to pay with the loan was that they are putting a figure on including operations, maintenance, and repair, and setting aside for future improvements that might be needed, which is something the district hasn't done, which would raise that rate, but is a very, I think, in my opinion, is a very wise thing to do. Mm-hmm. Continue setting aside for needed improvements.
Maintenance.
Apparently they applied the formulas that they use for a district of our size with our personnel and so forth. And they came up with a figure, what they feel is a reasonable figure for its operations, maintenance, and replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the big girls and boys do.
Yep.
They set aside, they set aside money for the future, inevitable future replacements that are going to happen, something that, that we haven't done here in the district, which is why we're looking at this whomping huge expenditure now. What the big districts do, in fact, is they have that as part of the annual budget, and they adjust it depending on forecasts for replacing the parts of their system in future. And so they're able to, doing that, able to, you know, if they have to squeak the rate up, they can just do it, you know, $2 or $3 a year, that kind of thing, rather than go for decades and then hit everybody with, you know, $100. So, and they figure they gave us was $52 and I can't remember how many cents, but it was between $52 and $53 a month was the state estimate of what would be a reasonable cost for operations, maintenance, and replacement.
Big figure. It's a good figure.
So does that mean that gets added to the $150 for the
three? No. That's so basically, if you want, I can put up on the website or send to any, whoever wants it, just email me the scenario. It's the one you remember, the one stop, the first one where they came out to us, Rob. They sent us basically the online equivalent of that, and with two slightly different loan options for a $3.5 million loan. And basically the rate estimates are based on the OM&R, that operations, maintenance, and replacement cost, and then what they call the debt service on top of that. And that's where the numbers come from. In other words, there's this, the rates that estimates that are in that table, and we basically recalculated them because the to the current estimates of the project and the current number of actual connections that we have, because they were using a number of 158 and I think we have 147. So they were splitting it between more customers than we actually have. And we will of course get a new, if we get to that, whenever we get to that stage, if we're going that route, we'll get a new one-stop estimate from them. But basically the rate numbers on that table that we generated are based on the number of customers we have, the current project cost estimates, and they include both the what we charge for the water bill, but the water bill is then increased to that total number, which includes the debt service, with the debt service being larger than the operations, maintenance, and replacement. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I still have a clarification on the operation and maintenance versus the fees that we already pay for water, mm-hmm. Which is 50.
Yes.
And so the 50 for operations and maintenance that we already pay,
mm-hmm.
is, and there's going to be another operations and maintenance fee that you're saving?
No.
You just say that there is a division, that $600 in your figures here plus the annual estimated cost.
That's only for the bond.
Okay.
So because we still, in other words, I'm still in, I'm using the what our current rate charge is, which is a couple bucks less than what the state thinks it should be for the OM&R. And then you add the cost on the bond thing, you add the cost of the increase in your property tax bill. Does that make sense?
No, because I'm reading right here on the cost, estimated cost of reduced scope project under loans.
Oh, loans. That's the whole enchilada.
Okay, so the $600 of the rate right now we're paying, $50 a month, right?
Right, and then it would increase to those figures.
It would be the additional of the estimated cost of $1,119 plus the $600.
But no, not that includes the $600.
Okay, it does.
Thank you. I wasn't getting the question. Yeah, that includes the $600. In other words, the increase in your annual cost for your water service would go from the $600 to the $1,000, whatever. So
on a loan for the reduced scope okay.
Yeah. So that's those numbers basically on the loan reflect our best estimate right now of what your water bills would be, but that would when you add on the debt service for the project. So that's the total.
I have a question.
Yes.
Dan? Is that you?
Me? I have a question. Yeah. Well, in a statement, it's on the reduced scope and on the full scope, it says the reduced scope says 1119 per year, an increase of 519. So that means we add our 600 plus you add 519 to it.
Yes.
So that's our yearly total. Right. That's pretty clear there. And that was just a comment I wanted to make on that.
Okay. All right. Are you guys ready for our real market value for this fiscal year? For the district?
Yes.
Okay.
$63,812,010. So 63812010 is the number that we got from the assessor's office. That's the number they turned into the state. The state, I guess, has to turn around and certify that. But that's their number.
Is that the rate? That the dollar figure for the code area of Otter Rock,
or that,
or is it just the water district? Hey, water district. There's six. Wow.
That's what's what we're worth.
Okay. So that doesn't include Seacrest or.
No. This is
in Otter Crest or any of the water district people, patrons.
It's only the property inside the boundary of the water district.
Dan, did that?
Of the water district. Okay, I see. Okay.
Was that itemized?
Thank you.
That's impressive.
Was that itemized, Dan? Like with the tanks and the springs and the distributions, or was it just a lump sum?
These are the property owners.
That's
property value.
That's the real market value of the taxable property. So it doesn't.
Got it.
Okay.
Land and property.
Yes.
Land and property, developed property.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had a question for you. Did you say that the maximum allowable money that would be qualified is 1.6 million?
Yeah, it's 2.5%.
So what my question is that even if we wanted to go to 3.5 million, you already know you're not going to get that amount of money.
We already know we can't do that with a bond.
That's with a bond.
Okay, just the bond.
Right.
Okay.
Because we're limited to 2.5% of our real market value. If we had over 300 population, we'd be allowed to go up to 10%.
But you have a potential for that population, don't you, with the vacant land?
No, it's who lives here now.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
The only other question I had, and I'll make it quick, is just that once upon a time we were talking about emergencies, what happened if we had an earthquake or a tsunami or whatever. Usually during catastrophes like that, we've in the past with hurricanes and things like that, they've always had low interest loans and monies available for emergency things. So is this saying that there might not be any monies available down the road for emergencies?
What, from where? Where are you getting that?
Well, where am I getting that they get loans? That
no.
happens on, okay. Where am I getting the fact that I don't understand the
did,
question?
Did we say something? Someone say something? There would be no more money down the road?
No. Well, Dan did say that it's hard once you get in the back of the bond line, there's not much of a chance of you getting in the front again.
That was the loan through the state.
Well, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
The right.
Loan, but no, what I'm saying is that.
I don't think that doesn't include emergencies.
Good. Then maybe we should take out some of the things that aren't emergencies, like the tank or something like that, large ticket item that you can get by. And if there is an emergency, like a earthquake or a tsunami or something like that, then you can replace it at that time through emergency funds. That way you don't have to put out all the money up front.
But right, but then you'd be without a tank for a year.
Well, no, you have a tank. You have a tank right now that you've had for 30 years.
Our little tank, if it survived.
No, the big tank. Well, if it, you know, who knows what's going to be here after an earthquake. So, I mean, that's not fair to guess.
If we don't want fire flow and we don't want water pressure, then we can skip the tank.
Well, we already not have fire flow. We already don't have water pressure. And the fire flow hasn't told you you have to do it or else. Nor has anybody that has not enough adequate pressure. And I know where I live, I don't have a lot of pressure either, but I'm able to get by. It's better than spending millions of dollars extra just to have more pressure.
Right. Well, it is somewhat of a drawback that they feel they have to bring a tanker in if a house catches on fire and they can't depend on our water. So
it's a lot worse out in the country than it is in an area that has fire hydrants. I mean, at least this way you stand a chance of getting enough water. And if you put a smaller tank in, you're going to have less water available.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other comments? Stan.
I'm still trying to figure out this $63 million. That's based on 340 pieces of real estate?
Yes.
That so that is within out the water district boundaries.
18,000 per piece of real estate. Does that sound right?
$63 million sounds like a lot to me for just 340 places. I don't know.
Until you come up with $187,000
average.
What?
$187,000 average property, but you got bare land and you got developed.
Yeah.
So what you figure?
Coming up with 18,000. So we were a decimal point off. Gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah, what you
figure sounds more reasonable.
Yeah.
What you figure out of the $63 million is what millage rate that you can generate the amount of money you need annually to pay off your loan. And so I just wanted to check their figures on the 1.64 and see where we are with that, because you know, and they also, you know, you. So then you can go and find out if you have a valuation over $350,000, which is what all this chart goes, you can figure out what that might be. That's all I wanted to figure.
Did you figure it out?
Not yet. I just was doing that.
Oh, okay. When you figure it out, let me know. I'm curious too.
Yeah.
I would love to do the whole project. I just don't think the community can afford it. I think if maybe we can get some grants and some loans for infrastructure, which might come up within the next year, would be doing great. Then we could borrow what was left off the grant alone. But can I finish? Or do I get to finish?
Sorry.
Okay. To try to dump that much money on each individual property owner here, I think I can afford it. A lot of people can afford it, but a lot of people probably can't. That's the way I look at it. So I'm sorry, that's just my opinion.
Well, I just wanted to point out one thing that I don't know if we've researched every grant, but there's a, grants that are available, but they are usually based on a community's ability to, or
their income.
Their income on, and our last figures were from May that we are at 106% of the statewide income, median income index, I think is what it is, the MHI. So a lot of places have gotten grants because they're considered distressed in income
I think those figures are including Seacrest, aren't they? I think you're on a I don't think that's just on the
We're not much. It's only the median income, state median income was $59,393, and they figured we were at $62,736. So we don't have enough workforce housing here or something, I guess.
I don't know if that's just for the district alone or if it's for the zip code area or if it's for, you know.
Right, I don't know either.
That's if it's for the zip code, we're including properties that are worth a lot more than we have in Otter Rock. We're including Seacrest. We're probably including Morocco.
Right.
You know, so I don't think that's a true figure for us.
Well, that this is based on income.
But on what? The district's income or the whole area's income?
Right. But it's income. It doesn't have to do with property values because those don't always match.
I don't know how they can figure income out on that either. We're almost all retired here.
Right, unfortunately.
Yeah, where does that income come from?
It's all those pensions and
64,000 a year per person. Yeah.
Okay, any other comments on this subject or shall we talk about if we want to talk about anything else tonight?
Well, I got something.
Okay.
Is the reduced scope project, is that already decided on by the board? Have you guys already decided what would be done? Or still deciding? I mean, I understand the full scope. That's the whole project. But if we did it at a reduced, who mentioned it? Don had mentioned it reduced, like, when they came out with the feasibility study, the glaring fact was that we were losing more water than we were using. So why don't we address that issue? And I mean, our tanks are not leaking and the springs are producing enough water. So the issue is we're losing water, which, you know, we lose pressure and we lose flow with that. So in a reduced project, you know, we address the one in the reduced scope project that says it's not going to be addressed, and that would not eliminate the system leakage or replacement of most of our old water mains or establish reliable connections, you know. Is that, and isn't that part of the meter project, is to find these leaks and that? So we all agree that there's, you know, our system's leaking and failing, and that's the weakest part of our whole system. And if you stop the leaks, don't you get better flow and better pressure?
Someone want to answer that? Then
you get better. You get, there'd be less water loss, so you'd have your domestic flow number, daily use would be less. Your pressure wouldn't change.
I'd go higher. You'd have more water in the tanks.
So a question to Buzz. Then, you know, when you're talking about a different tank and a different size, I know we're gravity. So our tank, our 300,000 gallon tank is not high, the volume of water is high enough to give us enough pressure. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Our lines and the failure of the valves are our aged valves. We don't even know if the valves are open or closed because you can't even move them.
You're absolutely right. That transite line, to my understanding, has only been uncovered once since I've been here, and that's when they put in that subdivision. They tapped it and they found some rotten line there, but that's right, we don't know if those valves work or not.
So wouldn't it be wise to replace what we know is failing and what isn't, you know do we replace our tanks? And
can I back up you said we're not addressing the leaks. We're addressing the problem. The tank farm work will give us good flow measurement and reliable flow measurement. So we will know, we'll be able to tell how much our leakage is when we put a new flow meter in, because it'll monitor it on a 24-hour basis. And we'll be able to look at what the flows are in the middle of the night when they should be zero. And if there's a lot of leakage showing up, then we'll know, we'll have a quantitative measure of the leakage. That's a big help.
We have to have the meter.
And the partial, the one for 1.5 million, 1.4 million, I forget. It also includes putting in all the meters, the remainder of the meters. And I think there's like 90 more or less to do. And less what we were able to put in before. But so if we have all the meters in, we'll be able to eliminate the residences as a potential leak source. And that will leave the mains. And unfortunately, the part that we're not doing will make it more difficult for us to determine what the leaks in the mains are. But I think if, well, you know, it's, I don't want to take up too much time here, but if we don't address the distribution system, I don't think it's an insolvable problem to find the leaks. I'll just let it go at that. But I'll just summarize by saying the partial project does tell us a lot about our leakage.
Right. Well, the concrete asbestos lines that are who knows how old, are those the concern?
Well, I've seen some that's in pretty good shape. Jim took some out by the, when he replaced the line up at the tank farm, and it looked just smooth and in very good condition. The worrisome areas, I think, are down on C Street where those cattails are growing. That line is always covered up with water, and it's very acidic water, you know, and acid soil. And I think if we're having problems, and up on Otter Crest, there's some areas that are covered in water all the time. And I think if we're having any problems that we have are probably from the outside in rather than the inside out.
So there's no issue with the new meters. I understand the whole meter and you know, finding the leaks to the residences. So hooking the new meters up, there hasn't been any issues. I mean, you're dealing with the old asbestos line, right? Hooking.
No, none of those meters, amazingly, you'd think, but I don't think there's been a meter put on, tapped on any asbestos line since we started the program. They're all on PVC laterals.
Oh.
So we haven't, at least I don't know of any of those valves. You're saying we don't know if the valves work. You're 100% spot on. We were told that the hydrants are on their last legs and don't work. Well, you know, we've been flushing them a couple of times, Cody and I, and there's a couple that are a little stiff, but they seem to work okay. The problem is we can't buy parts for them anymore if one does go. I'm sorry, I'm going on, but I don't think if you go with a partial program, I don't think that leaving the personal, not addressing the distribution system and the AC line is going to present a problem that can't be solved. It may be less cost effective, and it might be more of a pain in the elbow for the district rather than having a nice new system, but I think it's a problem that can be addressed.
Ben,
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm Jim's dad. You know who Jim is. We've talked about this in length. The dirty water is not coming from the springs. You've had very few water tests from the springs that have been dirty. The springs have been relatively clean. Now, I'm not saying they've never been tested dirty, but they're relatively clean. The dirty test comes from leakage of the main line that's getting water from other sources. That's where you're getting the dirty test. That's why the test that's dirty is at the firehouse or it's at the state park. It's not at the spring. There's been very few tests at the spring, and always spring number three, which in my opinion, I don't think it's a true spring, is always had a chance of being dirty. They've always done the very best not to use spring number three. That was Jim's objective, to get as much water as we could, as long as we could, before we had to use spring three, because he knew he'd get dirty tests out of spring three. Always has. He also said that all his tests that ever been dirty have been at the fire station or down at the state park. And those are the places he's getting, or at the clubhouse itself. Those are the places he's getting the dirty tests. That's not, so you're not, if you do not replace the distribution system in the rest of the system, you're shooting yourself in the foot, because you're going to keep on getting dirty tests. And that's part of the whole reason you're replacing the system.
Ben, I'm sorry, but that's you're kind of, that's not true. We're chlorinating. That's the magic thing. We picked up a lot of bugs on this last round, and we chlorinated by the worst kludgy system. You know, we were dumping chlorine into the springs, not knowing how much or detention time or how it was going to mix.
We you did think it just started happening yesterday? Or when do you think they started going dirty? Because they weren't going dirty a year ago. They had a few bad tests.
Yeah, they have.
They've had a few, but count how many they've had over the last 10 years compared to what you have now.
The reason that we're not just dumping, we're spraying it into the springs, is to use that as our method of mixing. It's not because the springs have to be treated.
That's right. You used to put it in the tank directly.
Jim, or Ben, across the distribution problem, you're absolutely spot on. There's leaks. And every time we blow the system down to clean the fire hydrants, we get low pressure and we're probably drying the bugs right in. But we're going to chlorinate, man. Chlorinate. And that makes the problem go away.
Well, that's nice. And not, a lot of people didn't even want chlorination to begin with. So that doesn't make it really, make very much. I know it's water under the bridge now, but at least somebody should say it. I know there's more than one person out there that didn't want chlorine.
Ben, you're hollering fire in a crowded theater, because the bugs in the system are there. You are absolutely correct. It's an old system. It's leaking. Spot on. I don't disagree.
So if you repair the distribution, don't you stop the dirt? Go ahead.
Ben, the chlorination is going to take care of it.
Okay, so let's all drink water, dirty water, because you're going to chlorinate it.
We aren't ever going to be able to not chlorinate probably now. That's the word. Once you start, you're going to have to start. And the state says we have to start chlorinating. And they won't let us stop after that. So
yeah,
it's a kind of a done deal there, I think. Pat, did you have something you wanted to say earlier?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw your hand up. Sorry.
Dana, are you done with your questions? I didn't...
Yeah, pretty much. I just wanted to mention, you know, the fire hydrants are so far gone that they can't be refurbished. Is that the deal? I mean, it's basically a screw. You screw down the valve and that, if they're taken apart and you know, greased or whatever.
Didn't take Jim's word for it. He had an engineer from, or highly regarded engineer from the Association of Small Water Districts came over. And I stood by while they talked about it. And this guy knew those hydrants backwards and forwards. And the word I got out of it, you can't get parts for them anymore.
What part is there? I mean,
okay.
I mean, it's quite, like the
it's quite a screwjack.
Right. Maybe I'll talk to you sometime. We'll get together and I'll talk to you.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. That sounds good. I think we've, beat this around enough for tonight. Does anyone have, Dan, did you have any more information? Oh, okay. We have Alan.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
My wife, Wendy, is here. And
Alan and Wendy, hi.
Okay. You might remember that about 2 or 3 years ago, I was pretty involved with some of your discussions about this. And I have a couple of questions for you guys for some clarification. I think I want to thank you all in terms of the members of the Water District Board putting a lot of time and effort and thought into this, particularly Buzz and others. But my one question, well, I have a couple of questions. I have filled out the forms, the survey, and my wife and I disagree like most couples, but I'm going to go over what I would put in the survey. But I was wondering, Beth, if sometime we could get a summary of what the feelings were of all 30 customers in terms of totals of what you know, what the different preferences and options that they prefer. And so that we all can, and in some of the comments, so we can all get a feeling for things that we may not have seen or thought about. So if that could be done, I would appreciate that. I'm not saying right away, but you know, in the next few weeks.
I do have a tally made up that I sent around to the board. Yeah, with a little work, we could get a more. Some people had some pretty simple comments, and then some people had some pretty extensive comments. So, but cut and paste can be done pretty quickly. So we could do that.
I would appreciate that. And I would like to just mention some of the comments I added in there that maybe can be some clarification. One of the things I'm concerned with, since I taught groundwater geology at Oregon State University, along with being a specialist in the geology of the Coast Range, I'm quite familiar with all the rocks and the groundwater systems, and have worked with the city of Cannon Beach, for example, on their springs in the geologic past and development. And one of the things I noticed that Buzz pointed out is that his main concern was the water pressure and increasing the height of the tank and everything. It sounds like a reasonable thing to do. My comment is one of the big summaries pointed out that we have this drought in the summertime, and maybe due to leaks, if we can find them, it'd be great. But we are water rationing, and it seems to me just addressing the tank issue, which was essentially half the capacity of our 300,000 gallon tank today, the 150,000, ain't gonna help the drought rationing problem, even if we spend the limited scope, 1.5 million or the 3 million. Any ideas on that problem? Because I have a few that I'd like just pass on to the board.
You're asking, so what's your question? Can we?
The question is, Buzz, the way it's written now, you talked about installing for $1.5 million, 150,000 gallon tank. Are you suggesting that we get not use the 300,000 gallon tank? Do we take that out and put the steel tank in?
Yeah, we're using the... We're using the base of the old tank as a sub-foundation for the new tank. They're gonna pour a hockey puck foundation under the new tank on top of the old foundation to spread the load a little bit. But it'll be, and there's room enough to set two tanks in there, Alan, in case we need another one.
Great.
Well, I'm just curious about how do we get into this situation where we can address the spending all that money and still not have solved the rationing that we have, because I get the impression we need all the water we can get and we don't have enough flow. And one suggestion is a remediation of spring number one, but I'm not sure that remediation includes or will result in increased flow for the summer droughts. So I guess, how do we address that?
I would like to just mention that this summer we were running over 30,000 gallons a day going to town from the tank farm. So even a 300,000 gallon tank would be gone in 10 days. I'm not sure that, Buzz, you can help me with this. I'm not sure that having the bigger tank over the period of time that we have, the few months that we have our drought, would really help us that much. It would buy us a few days during a really dry time, but unless we have ways to conserve water or reduce our leakage, we're going to be in the same issue. We'll have the same issue, even if we've got a big storage thing. A big storage thing is not going to, is by itself won't get us through the dry season.
Right. I agree with you on that, Dan. Good point. All I'm suggesting is that a couple of years ago, I suggested that a geologic study may, in fact, I know, will result in the development of additional springs in which you can increase the total amount of flow even during the drought season. And I'm suggesting here that, you know, it was allocated like $10,000 to do that, but because we were putting in water meters, that never materialized for a geologic site study of increasing the flow. But there is ways to increase the flow. So Stan Hart once suggested the big problem is if we get more water in, then we'll have more water to come out. And I'm just trying to suggest maybe we should also address the droughts water shortage problem as we put increasing houses like the new development into the system, and also to solve a problem, because that was one of the things that was listed in the water district's outline of comparison of the 1.5 million funding versus the 3.2. That still doesn't address. That's a lot of money. It's mainly addressing the fire hazards problem, which we also need to address. And lastly, I just want to say that the bond issue, I think you already took care of that in terms of how much we can borrow, but I added a comment that I think that it's unfair to the owners of one or more undeveloped lots, which there are many, like 340 versus 154 customers, that this would be unfair because undeveloped lots aren't really using that water. Why should they be paying? So I'm sort of more in favor of the loan option, but is there any limitation of how much we can borrow from the state like we have with the bond issue? Anybody?
I don't think I have the definitive answer. I think it's at some point. I mean, I don't think they'd need $10 million because they'd wonder how the heck we would pay for it. It's hard enough to pay for $3.5 million.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the limit comes. There's no statutory limit on a rate-based loan that I can think of, but I think as a practical matter, there's a limit on what you can reasonably expect to do with rates. I mean, there, as Ben has pointed out in the past, the high rates that would result from the large loan still would look like a bargain in many parts of the country, but not in this part of the country.
Right.
So I'm not aware of any statutory limit on how much we can borrow. It's just at some point, the people loaning the money are going to say, we're not going to give you that much. You know, there's no way you can pay it back. I'm going to be quiet now.
Anyway, my last comment is that I think that we could actually increase the capacity of the flow of the amount of water during the summertime, and we should address that possible issue, and I don't think it's going to cost that much. The other possibility is water wells that could be chlorinated too, that could be added to the turned on to supplement the water in the drought summer, and they don't cost much because the water is only about 20 feet underneath the Otter Rock community water district exception.
I think Alan's probably right. There's plenty of water out there. And if we're going to chlorinate, I don't think we need to worry about leaks that much, because chlorination is going to take care of the leaks. If we run the main and fill up the tank and do the reduced scope project, we're going to have and get more water. Use spring number three, it's going to be chlorinated. We can use it now. You don't have to worry about the leaks that much, because we have plenty of water coming down, and our whole worry is not having enough water, right?
That's what I think, Stan, in terms of the drought situation. In terms of the water pressure, that I think would require, as Buzz suggested, making the steel tower 10 or 15 feet higher than the present water system.
And just the fact that we probably need a new tank too.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just some food for thought.
Alan, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, you talked about wells, and it seemed like you mentioned over by the firehouse.
Right.
And you think that's like 100 feet deep would get us into a decent aquifer?
Probably only down 30, I'd say 40 to 50 feet deep. The geologic setting of the flat area around the community center and most of Otter Rock, including the firehouse, is about 30 feet of the old ocean coastal terrace deposits, old beaches that overlie the bedrock, which is fairly impermeable, what we call the Astoria Formation, and the water runs along that contact. And there have been dug wells of a colleague of mine that we have lots of water right over here near 3rd and B Street that he was pumping out of an old hand dug well. And obviously we'd had to do a pump test, but that wouldn't cost that much to install. So you wouldn't even have to go down 100 feet. And you could actually see that water seep out at the sea cliffs at that boundary between the rock units. It's sort of a seawood dipping boundary. So that's my suggestion for augmenting the supply. Obviously, you would have to pump it uphill to the new tank. You know, put a line.
So you threw out a number like order of magnitude, I guess, $10,000. So do they have fancy new whiz-bang equipment that it wouldn't be rolling the dice if we did a well? They'd pretty much be able to tell us spot on where we'd get a good one before they start drilling?
With a geologic study, the best sites could be chosen. But also in terms of some springs that could be added to the present system that are probably topographically higher than, I'm not sure it'll be higher than the steel tank, but it'll be up there, that could be added to the system to bring more water in. And that would take a little bit of a geologic study first. Then once you've decided whether to put in water wells or add a spring, you can then have a pump test done. And for a well to be drilled, say 50 feet, and a pump test being done, probably I would suggest it would run around $10,000, but you first need to have a geologic summary of the best options. You got two options there, or you can do both.
What's the geologic study run? Just order of magnitude.
Oh, it's probably several $1,000s too. So it's something to think about.
Yeah, for sure. I like
that's something we wanted to do. In addition, Buzz, a geologic study can also tell you something about the geologic hazards in terms of landslides.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to scare you, but the whole 101, if we had an earthquake, could shake and come down on all of our system, or the main trunk line could slide out. We had about 3 years, about maybe 5 years ago, back on, not Ellie, what's the other road? On Gladys, there was a break in the line, and essentially the water came down. It was on a very steep slope, saturated the soil, and made a mud flow that went down about 50 feet to a home and covered near the garage area. And that's a geologic hazard of just a breaking lines. And that might have an effect on where you put water lines. so that you don't have landslides. One of the things I have specialized is actually working for engineering companies to determine slides. I'm working on one now on 101 down by Moolock Beach Hotel. And the geology will tell you how to avoid this.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm shutting up now. Everybody enjoy themselves. We haven't had dinner either.
Food for thought. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Anything else? Well, I think we've had a good discussion tonight. We've got a lot more work to do. Appreciate all the comments. And we'll keep you all posted. Is there anything else a board member wants to bring up? No? No, Pat? Buzz?
Deputy Sheriff has the fence estimate, the fence repair estimate.
Ah, okay, good. Okay, well, I think it's time to adjourn. Everyone go finish their dinner or whatever they need to do tonight. And our next meeting is on November 10th, our regular board meeting at 6 o'clock. So I will hereby adjourn this meeting at 7:45. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Thank you all.